Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Introduction to the Java Consumability Tools and Java Guided Troubleshooting. Today's presenter is Chris Bailey. Chris joined the IBM Java Technology Center as a graduate of Southampton University in the year 2000. He has since worked extensively with users to solve issues raised against IBM's Java and Java-based products. Chris runs DeveloperWorks JavaStone Forum entitled IBM Java Runtimes and SDKs, and he is also part of the team behind the IBM on Troubleshooting Java Applications blog. He is currently focused on improving the quality of information and tooling available to IBM Java users. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Chris.
Thank you, Joseph. So as Joseph has just mentioned, I'm Chris Bailey. I'm actually the Java support architect at IBM. So I own the resolution of user problems when they're trying to use IBM's Java or any part of the stack, so using WebSphere products and Lotus and so on. And as Joseph also mentioned, my focus area really is making troubleshooting much easier. And trying to make sure that information is available so that the capabilities we've got are usable and so that, you know, the deployment of Java applications using IBM software goes as smoothly as possible and you get return on investment as soon as possible. So the presentation today is really to cover some of the capabilities and the tools that we've either had for some time or we've created in the last 18 months or so, to try and make it much easier to diagnose and debug problems that you may experience when you're working with Java, and to try and give you some insight into things you want to investigate more in terms of tooling or capabilities that might help to solve problems you're really seeing today. So if we move to slide two, the agenda is first to go through the family of capabilities and the Java consumability tool sets, and then to look at what we provide in terms of documentation and guidance on when you should be using these tools and how they should be used and what information they should be telling you and what to do with that to try and solve real problem scenarios. And then finally, an introduction to a tool called Health Center, which is a performance profiling and monitoring tool, which should hopefully really help avoid problems in the first place, especially if you get the into usage during development and test, where it will hopefully be showing you what problems are likely to occur well ahead of them occurring at times which are more critical, so when you actually have live users on the system. So if we move to slide three, the IBM Monitoring and Diagnostic Tools for Java family. So most of the tools come under this naming moniker of IBM Monitoring and Diagnostic Tools. And they include tools called Diagnostic Collector, Garbage Collection and Memory Visualizer, Dump Analyzer, Health Center, and actually there's a new tool on there which isn't mentioned. We released it last week called Memory Analyzer, but we will talk about that in a section. At the bottom of that slide is a link to where to find those tools on DeveloperWorks. So in the DeveloperWorks Java Zone, there is a tools page where you can find out information about each of these tools and you can obtain the download so that you can use them. If we move to slide four, we'll also be talking about some close relatives. One of those is Eclipse Memory Analyzer tool. Now, that's what we've actually just packaged as IBM Monitoring and Diagnostic Tools for Java Memory Analyzer. There's actually an IBM version of the Eclipse Memory Analyzer tool project, which we call Memory Analyzer. And we'll also talk about a Java API for writing tooling called Diagnostic Tool Framework for Java, DTFJ. So that's an enablement layer to allow people to write their own tooling, and the IBM Support Assistant, where really all of these tools are being delivered. So it's a framework for tools delivery and to provide you with a real toolbox of all of the tools and capabilities. And on slide five, we're also going to talk about some capabilities that are built into Java Runtime itself. So inside the Java Runtime, we have a capability called Method Trace. We've got quite an extensive dump engine to get data out of the system. We've got other useful capabilities such as minus memory check, and minus XCheck JNI, which profiles JNI code that's running and tells you if there's any problems there. Okay, so if we move to slide 6, we'll start to cover some of those IBM monitoring diagnostic tools in a bit more detail. So the first of the ones that we mentioned is Diagnostic Collector. So what Diagnostic Collector does is when there is a problem with the Java application, so it's had a problem such as an out-of-memory error or it's had a crash for some reason, what Diagnostic Collector is a tool that sits there and is actually automatically invoked by the JVM when the failure is detected. So if it detects an out-of-memory error has occurred, Diagnostic Collector gets automatically invoked. And what Diagnostic Collector does is it searches for useful bits of data which can be used to analyze the problem that caused that crash or that out-of-memory error to occur. So it searches for some of the data created by the Java runtime itself. So those will be heap dumps, so the description of the objects on the Java heap at that point in time. Java dumps, so a thread dump that describes the state of each of the threads and what they're doing and what their stack traces are, as well as data from the operating system. So if there's been a system dump, so a core file on AIX or Linux, an SVC or transaction dump from mainframes, or a Windows mini dump, if those have been generated because there's been some kind of segmentation violation or general protection fault, it gets those as well. It also looks for things like the kernel error logs. So all the bits of data which can be useful to try and analyze the problem, it gathers those, as well as running a utility called JExtract against the system dump. JExtract takes the system dump and creates some annotations against it, which allows tooling to understand the Java structures inside it. So it does that processing for you, and then bundles it up into a single zip file containing all of that data, as well as naming that zip file according to what kind of failure occurred. So if it's from an out-of-memory error, it's labeled it to say it's an out-of-memory error that generated the package, and then gives you a single zip file containing all of the diagnostics from the event. So it makes sure that the correct data is captured when whatever the failure event is occurs. If we move to slide 7, the second member of the IBM Monitoring Diagnostic Tools for Java family is a tool called GCMV, Garbage Collection Memory Visualizer. So what Garbage Collection Memory Visualizer does is it helps to visualize and analyze memory-related problems with Java. So what it does is it's a graphical analytics tool. It will take the verbose GC output, so basically the logging of what garbage collection is doing in your Java runtime, and it will create a number of graphs so that you get a visual representation of how it's performing over time. It will also do statistical analysis of it, so it will tell you how much time is spent in garbage collection versus the amount of time in the application. It will tell you what your highest heap usage was. It will also go through and do a number of recommendations on what tuning needs to be applied or whether it sees problems. So we offer 4 garbage collection policies dependent on application types, and it will actually do an analysis and recommend whether you have selected the wrong GC policy and that there's a better one that you should be trying. It gives you recommendations on whether your heap size is too large or too small, on whether you have too many compactions and options that you can use to try and avoid those compactions during your garbage collection and so on. Now, it does all of those for the IBM platforms. It also works for verbose GC output from Sun and for users of WebSphere Realtime, which is a real-time Java implementation. It will also take the output from that and do the same kind of graphing and graphical and statistical analysis. Now, in addition to working for verbose GC output from the garbage collector, it will also take OS-level memory information. So if you're using AIX, it will take SVMon, which tells you about the memory usage of the entire process, not just what garbage collection is doing. And it will graph that output and show you how your overall memory footprint changes over time, and again do statistical analysis and make recommendations based on that. It will do the same for PS on Linux, and we're working on doing the same thing for Windows as well. So basically, on most of the operating systems, you'll be able to load this data in and see what your overall memory usage of that Java application is, as well as what the memory that's being used by garbage collection. And again, it produces those analysis reports and tuning recommendations. Now, if you move to slide 8, you get an idea of what you'll see when you're running the tool. So, as I said, you get the graphical displays. So the first diagram there at the top is the pause times, so the amount of time garbage collection has been running for over time. So it's a fairly simple display, but there is quite a lot of flexibility in how you view it. So you can select different parts of the graph, and it will zoom into those. You can select individual data points and then go and look at the raw of the BoseGC output under it for those data points. You can apply windowing, and windowing will let you change the statistical analysis according to which bits of the data set you're interested in. And you can also change the axis. So at the moment, the vertical y-axis here is actually in megabytes, but you can change it to bytes or gigabytes and so on. And the horizontal axis is time in terms of minutes since the start of the application, but you can do it in terms of real time, or you can do it in terms of garbage collection cycles and so on. Now, as you change those axes and as you change the windowing, it actually changes the statistical analysis and the recommendations and the summary table that you can see in the diagram at the bottom. So it does a whole number of analysis and gives you a lot of statistical data. And the units that are used in that data and the range which is used for that analysis is all driven by what you've applied in terms of the units and the windowing in the graphical representation. And as you can see in the second picture as well, there's some text in there that talks about tuning recommendations, and it actually highlights them as being warnings or errors or just things that you might want to look at. If we move to slide 9, the third of the tools in the family is a tool called Dump Analyzer. Now, Dump Analyzer takes system dumps, so your core file, your transaction dump, your mini dump, that's been had JExtract run against it. As I said, JExtract is required to let some of the tooling understand the Java structures inside that dump. And this is why Diagnostic Collector will run it automatically, is so that tools like Dump Analyzer can actually go and use that data. And what Dump Analyzer will do is take that JExtract formatted system dump and run a number of analysis modules against it to try and get useful information out of the system dump. So you can actually take that operating system level dump and pull out information about Java objects and about threads and so on, and then it also searches for known problems. So what this means is if you've got a operating level system dump, you can actually pull all of the threads out of it and see what their stack traces are. The Java core.txt, which is the thread dump, you can actually generate one of those using Dump Analyzer from the system dump. And again, in the same way that GCMV gives you summary report of warnings and errors and recommendations, Dump Analyzer does exactly the same thing, which if you move to slide 10, you'll be able to see with the two diagrams there. You've got a screenshot at the top of the available analyzers. So these are the different things that you can look for. At the basic Java level, you can look for thread stacks and classes, and it does some analysis looking for deadlocks. It looks for large amounts of memory being used on the Java heap and so on. But there's also a number of WebSphere extensions that you can download as well. And these WebSphere extensions will let you look at the EJB cache to see which EJBs you've got loaded, how many instances you've got and so on. It will also let you look at the web container and so on. So you can actually get a good representation of what WebSphere is doing on behalf of your application based on the system dump. And again, as I said, for GCMV, it gives you those analysis results. So it tells you whether there's problems it's identified, whether it's found that there's a deadlock or a memory problem. If you've had a crash, it pulls that information to tell you what the cause of that crash was and so on. And it gives those results to you with different levels of importance. So you've got warnings and errors and so on to understand whether something you should consider changing or whether something's a real problem to your application and your deployment. And finally, on slide 11, the last of those tools in the family is Health Center. So Health Center is a lightweight tool for monitoring a live JVM, so a live Java application. Its aim is to have very, very low performance overhead. So its design aim was to cost you less than 2% performance to have this running. And that's a design aim that we've met internally using standard benchmarks and benchmarks like the WebSphere Trade benchmark that you can then download and use. So we've proved that it's got very low overhead and should be able to be used in production. It gives you live monitoring of garbage collection. It looks at live monitoring of Java locks, does method profiling, and in the same style as for Dump Analyze and GCMV, it uses this to give you statistical analysis and give you tuning recommendations and do a health status. So it looks for things which are, you know, warnings or errors or bits of information that it should be telling you about your application that you should consider looking at or that you definitely should change. I won't say too much more about Health Center because it's covered in more detail later on in the presentation. If we move to slide 12, we start looking at some more of the related tools. Now, as I said at the very beginning of the presentation, Eclipse Memory Analyzer tool, we've actually now made available as part of the IBM Monitoring and Diagnostic Tools for Java family. So there is actually an IBM package of Eclipse Memory Analyzer tool now. But Eclipse Memory Analyzer tool is a heap analyzer. So it's there to tell you about what's going on the Java heap and to do footprint analysis to find out which bits of the application are using which bits of memory and how large your caches are and so on, but also to fix memory leaks where you've had out-of-memory errors. Now, the Eclipse Memory Analyzer tool project works with Sun HProf binary dumps. The difference between Eclipse MAT and the IBM Memory Analyzer package is that we supply an IBM adapter that allows MAT to work against system core dumps. So again, that's the AIX core file, the Linux core file, an SVC or transaction dump on Xeos, and a mini dump on Windows, and also to work for the PhD format heap dumps that come from IBM. So we've extended it to run for the IBM platforms, and we actually have one of the committers to the Eclipse project working as part of the Java team here at IBM. Now, what the tool will do for you is, as I said, it will let you do memory leak detection footprint analysis and has a number of different ways that you can do that. It also is working on a two heap dump comparison so that you can take two heap dumps from the same system a little bit of time apart, compare the two and tell you where you've had growth in memory or what those differences are. Interestingly, it also provides query language, which looks very much like SQL if you have spent any time querying databases. It basically uses classes as tables and so on and allows you to actually build queries to find out information about specific objects or relationships between objects. And there's also Eclipse extension points in MAT that allow you to write your own analysis plugins. So if there's something you commonly do, so for your application you're interested in particular servlets that you've written and what their memory usage is, and you want to see how that's changed between different versions of your own application, so you've done a feature update push and you want to see how that's affected your memory usage, and then you can do that with MAT by writing your own plugin and just running that plugin, and it will automatically give you a report with whatever you want your plugin to look at. So there's lots and lots of features in Memory Analyzer tool to understand what's going on in your application. And also of particular interest is if you load in using the system dump and the IBM adapter, not only do you get to look at objects and the relationships between objects, you can actually look at the individual fields inside an object. So if you have a session and you've got a particular bit of data inside that session, you want to see what that is, you can actually go through with that Memory Analyzer and look at the very data held in that field to see what that string is or what value the int is and so on. If we move to slide 13, we've again got some screenshots of what's there in Eclipse MAT. So when you first load the dump, you get an overview, and that gives you a pie chart that shows you what some of the greatest memory users are and gives you a link to looking at memory leak analysis. In terms of path to GC routes, you can see what's holding onto memory, which bits of code effectively are retaining objects and preventing them from being garbage collectors. And what might be quite interesting is that you can do that same kind of view, but grouped by class loader. And the reason that's kind of interesting is that in a JEE environment, an application that you've deployed in your app server is deployed inside a given class loader. So by being able to do this by class loader, you can actually look at the memory usage for a specific application that you've deployed. So if you've got a WebSphere instance with four applications deployed, you can actually look at the memory usage of each of those applications individually by looking at the memory usage by class loader. Okay, if we move to slide 14, what we said was the diagnostic tool framework for Java, DTFJ, and this is actually an API for writing tools. So the adapter we just spoke about with Eclipse MAT that allows core files to be loaded and the PhD format heap dump to be loaded and used by the tool, and the technology which allows Dump Analyzer to query a system dump, those are both tools based on DTFJ. So this is an API that allows you to query a system dump, so again a core file or a transaction dump, SVC dump or mini dump, and get data out of that system dump. And in particular, it lets you get data that's related to Java. So you can pull out Java objects, you can pull out Java classes, you can look at threads, you can look at methods, you can look at locks, etc. So it contains that knowledge of the data structures and lets you look at Java information coming out of an operating system level dump without you needing to know anything about the operating system or the dump file format and so on. DTFJ is now a Java Community Process JSR, and so JSR 326 is about making DTFJ a standard so that hopefully it will be available in platforms other than those supported by IBM. And a reference implementation is being driven through the Apache Foundation as well with the Apache Cato project. And the JSR lead and the Apache Cato project lead are both part of the IBM team here, leading and driving those. So if we move to slide 15, just a kind of diagrammatic view of what DTFJ offers you. So to begin with, you get an image object. And from an image object, you can obtain an address space. And an address space can contain multiple processes. So from an address space, you get access to the processes, to a managed runtime. There's managed runtime there because the DTFJ API is actually applicable to any runtime, not just Java. But obviously, what we're interested in is a Java implementation, so you then access the Java runtime. Move to slide 16, you see a high-level view of what kind of objects you can get hold of from the Java runtime. So you can get hold of the Java heap, and therefore all of the objects on the Java heap and the relationship between Java objects and Java classes and Java fields, so things like ints and strings held inside that object. You can also get access to Java monitors and class loaders, but you can also get access to Java threads. And once you've got the thread, you can see every stack that frame that's on the thread, so all of the methods are being called. And you can get the Java location, so that's the line of code inside a method that's being run and the method itself. So you can pull all of this information out of the core file and start building a picture of what a Java application is doing. On slide 17, you've kind of got a more elaborate view of that API. So all of the Java stuff is in the bottom half of the diagram. If you look at the top half of the diagram, you can actually query OS level information as well, like what modules or shared libraries are loaded in the process. And you can actually read native memory as well. So if you want to find out just what raw data is at a given address, it gives you access into that as well. Slide 18, the final part of the related tools is the IBM Support Assistant. The IBM Support System is really a toolbox for getting access to each of these tools. So all of the tools are available as part of ISA, which gives us an automatic updating, and it lets you know when new tools are available and what they're there for. It also gives you access to documentation and raising electronic service requests with the IBM Support Organization and those kinds of things. But in this context, really, it's there as a toolbox, which all of the tools are inside. So GCMV, Memory Analyzer, Dump Analyzer, and so on are all available inside the IBM Support System. moving to slide 19 and starting to look at the capabilities that are actually in the IBM Java runtimes themselves. One of the potentially most useful capabilities that's in there is something called method trace. So what method trace is it's the ability to trace entry and exit of any Java method that's running in the Java process. So this is regardless of whether it's part of the core Java API, so classes like Java Util and Java Lang, whether it's part of middleware, so WebSphere or Tomcat or any middleware, whether it's third-party code or indeed your own code, any Java method that's running on top of the IBM Java runtime, we can trace its execution. The information that's provided is, as I said, the method entry and exit points. With this, you get thread information, so you know which thread is entering and exiting the method, and you get microsecond timestamps. So you know exactly what time the method was entered and exactly what time it was exited and by which thread. So this means that you can use it to understand code flow and you can use it to understand execution times and therefore performance of methods and how long it takes for a given method to return and so on. How method trace is run is by using the command line and the minus x trace option on the command line. You need to specify an MT keyword to it to say that we want method trace to run, and you need to specify where it goes. So if you look at the examples at the bottom of that slide, minus x trace print says print it to standard error, so to console, and it's MT, so the methods that we want to print, and then you just specify which methods you want, and you're allowed to use wildcards such as star and the not operator as well. So you can say I want to trace all methods apart from those in Java Lang package. The second example there, minus x trace colon maximal equals empty. Maximal says that I want to trace to internal buffer, so don't trace it out to console. Output equals trace.out says take that internal buffer and periodically put it out to a trace file. And again, you specify which methods you're interested in. I'm on slide 20. So you can probably imagine that if you decided to trace all of the Java methods running, even just Hello World would actually generate a large amount of data. So whilst Hello World isn't a large amount of code that runs, everything under it in terms of the core API and, you know, just printing out to console and so on actually invokes a large number of methods. So we produce the ability to do triggering on method trace entry and exit points. So when you enter or leave a method, there's actually a number of things you can trigger. Now, the ones designed to just reduce the volume of trace are suspend this, resume this, and suspend and resume. So suspend and resume says I would like to suspend all tracing. So that's globally all of the tracing in the JVM for method trace. And resume will globally resume all tracing. Suspend this and resume this does it on a per-thread basis. So for example, if you wanted to know about the execution time of an EJB, you could set up trace so it starts suspended, and when you have the invoke method of a particular EJB called, you can start tracing at that point and end tracing when it completes. And to begin with, if you just want the execution time of that EJB, then you could set the methods as just being the EJB invoker, and therefore you've got tracing of entry, exit, and microsecond level timestamps for when those points occurred and how long it took. So you can see the real execution time of an EJB or a JSP or a servlet or a JDBC connection or anything else. Additionally, we actually give you the ability to generate some dumps on method entry or exit if you want. So sysdump will generate a system dump, so you can get a core file or you can get a transaction dump or a mini dump. And it does so non-destructively, so it will write it and then the application will continue to run. You can get a Java dump, which is the thread dump. And you can get a heap dump, which is that object representation of what's on the Java heap. You can also get a snap dump, which is where I said if you select the maximal option and it writes to internal buffer and then periodically writes out to file, snap will flush everything out to file at that point. So if we move to slide 21, the IBM dump engine. We've got tracing, which we've just mentioned, which allows you to measure method entry and method exit and generate some dump types on those method entry and exit events. We also have a full dump engine that allows you to generate those same dumps, so Java dump, heap dump, snapping, trace actor file, and the system dump, as well as a couple other things. You can have a dump event, which is to give you the stack trace, and you can have a dump event which says, go and run this command line when this event occurs. We can do this for a large number of events. General detection faults are an obvious one, but you can also do it for exceptions being generated using the throw, catch, and uncaught options. Those are exceptions being thrown, caught, or uncaught. You can do it on VM start and VM stop, so that's the JVM starting and the JVM exiting and so on. And you can also apply filters to these options. So the first option there, -x dump colon system, says give me a system dump. Events equals uncaught says only on uncaught exceptions, and a filter of Java lang null pointer exception says generate a system dump when we have a null pointer exception that's not caught by any code. The second one there says generate a stack, so that's just the stack trace of the current thread. On events of allocation, so that's when a Java object is allocated, with a filter of 1 megabyte. So what that says is, if an object over 1 megabyte in size is allocated, write that stack trace of what allocated it to standard error so that I can find out who's allocating large objects. Moving to slide 22, another of the capabilities is minus memory check. What memory check does is profile the native memory usage of the Java runtime itself. So it's there to show what the breakdown of the JVM's native malloc memory is, which is interesting if you're exhausting the Java address space and getting out of memory errors which aren't due to the Java heap. I'll quickly move on to slide 23, where the last of those capabilities in JVM really useful to people debugging Java application problems is -x check JNI. So if you have any JNI code in the process, so you've written your own Java native interface libraries and they're running, there's a number of common mistakes that can be made, common gotchas when using JNI code. And what -x check JNI does is it profiles the calls between the Java native interface code and the Java virtual machine, looking for these common problems, and then generates reports divided into errors, warnings, and advice level on what problems it's seeing and what you should do to correct those. There is a performance overhead to doing so. As with most of these capabilities, there is some cost, but it's something that you can run during testing and benchmarking and performance testing to find out if there's any problems, and then disable it when you move into production. So if we move to slide 24, we just spent half an hour or so introducing you to a large number of tools and a large number of capabilities, and we've really brushed the surface of what they are and what they do. So you've got the problem that you've got this toolbox of capabilities and tools, but how do you really know which tool to use and what each of the tools are for and how you use it for a particular job? Most of the tools are aligned to a certain data artifact. So GCMV is designed to work with verbose GC and to work with things like PF and SVMon. MAT is designed to work with heap dumps and core files. Dump Analyzer is designed for core files and so on. So they're kind of aligned to data artifacts. But probably a more important one is post-problem occurrence. So you've had a certain problem type, and to troubleshoot those problems, so you've had an out-of-memory error or you've had a crash, or you've got a performance problem. The other usage scenario we've tried to cover in our toolset is more the proactive live monitoring. So you haven't yet had a problem, but you want to make sure that everything's in place if a problem does occur, and in fact try to detect them a little bit ahead of time. So on slide 25, the artifact analysis. As I said, Dump Analyzer is really there for core dumps. GCMV is there for garbage collection and for verbose GC. MAT and now IBM Memory Analyzer is there to look at heap dumps from out-of-memory errors, and Diagnostic Collector is there because you've had a crash and it's for that kind of data format. But if you move to slide 26, what we think is probably more useful to people is looking at real problem scenarios and how you debug those problem scenarios from the problem occurring right the way through to finding a solution. Now, we tried to provide some help here using some troubleshooting guidance. So inside the IBM support assistant, there's a utility called the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. And this is a real step-by-step wizard approach to taking you through starting off with a problem type, and the problem types we cover are out-of-memory errors, performance, and crashes at the moment. So having one of those problem types and the individual steps that you have to go through in order to be able to resolve that problem. We also provide almost identically the same content, but with the ability to get a higher level overview and to short circuit through steps which you already know how to do through something called the Java Guided Troubleshooting Info Center. So that's an info center that's available on the web and that you can look at and browse through and understand how to carry out problem determination. Now, each of these things really directs you when to use a capability or a tool, which capability and how to do that, and what you're looking for in the output and what the next steps are. Now, if you look at slide 27, the info center really starts by giving you a flow diagram of what's involved in troubleshooting at that given problem type. The first part of dealing with an out-of-memory error is to collect must-gather. So that's the data that's required from the system in order to do the analysis to try and understand what the problem is. So it tells you what data to gather, but also directs you to diagnostic collectors to automate that step. The next step is to determine the exhausted resource. So have you run out of Java heap? Have you run out of native heap? Have you run out of class loaders and so on? So there's three bits of data that you need to analyze there, and it directs you to use GCMD for two of those and shows you exactly how to load data into GCMD and what you need to be looking for and what analyzers you need to run. And then it takes you on to the next steps of analyzing the Java heap or analyzing the native heap. Now, in the troubleshooting info center, when you get this flow diagram, it's actually an image map. So you can click on any bit of the diagram, and it actually has the document behind that page that explains how to do everything. And then at that point, you can come back to the diagram, or it gives you each of the options as a hyperlink, so you can just then carry on clicking through the document going to the next stage. Once you've done that initial analysis of the out-of-memory error to determine whether it's Java heap or native heap, in the case of Java heap exhaustion on slide 28, it again takes you through the steps required there. So looking to see whether your Java heap just isn't big enough, which would be a footprint problem, whether you've got a memory leak, it directs you towards GCMD. If you've got a memory leak, trying to understand what that leak is, it directs you to Eclipse MAT, or another memory analysis tool called MDD4J. So it takes you through those steps and shows you how to resolve cache leaks or linked list problems or finalizer problems and so on. If you look on slide 29, we provide the same guidance for the non-Java heap memory that's used by a Java application. So this, again, directs you to GCMV for PS and for SVMon. In the case of Z and in the case of Windows at the moment where GCMV won't graph that output, it tells you which OS level tools to use. So it tells you about Perfmon and it tells you about RMF on Z and so on. And then again, it directs you towards memory check and tells you how to use it. And it directs you to more OS level tools if you really need to do OS level malloc profiling. On slide 30, you've got the diagram for performance problems. So it again starts with diagnostic collector in order to get the right data. It then looks at machine level paging and swapping and tells you which OS tools to use and how to read them. It then looks at CPU usage and GC performance, the garbage collection performance, and how to look at the CPU usage for each thread. And again, it either points you at GCMV or at the native OS tools and how to do that. On slide 31, if your performance problem is actually the Java application itself or external connections to a database or to a web service and so on, again, it provides guidance on how to do that using Health Center or using method trace to look at those delay points. So as we said, method trace gives you very, very high accuracy timing. So it can be used to understand whether JDBC connections are taking a long time or whether a connection to a web service is taking 5 seconds to respond and so on. On slide 32, again, we've got that same capability for crashes. So starting off with diagnostic collector, using dump analyzer to look for stack overflows, to see if the problem's in the just-in-time compiler, or looking at what the failing module is. And again, it directs you to minus X check JNI to look at any Java native interface code that's running and any problems that could be there, and provides guidance on how to resolve it. So between the IBM Guided Activity Assistant in ISA and the Guided Troubleshooting Info Center, which is published on the web, we try and provide the guidance on how and when to use these tools and capabilities. So we don't just give them to you and say, hey, go off and work out what they really do and how to use them. We're trying to solve really problem scenarios rather than just give you capabilities. What we've just covered are, as I said, out-of-memory errors, performance problems and crashes. And those are really reactive scenarios. So you've already had those problems. Slide 33, what we're also trying to offer a solution for is live monitoring and analysis. So really more of a proactive solution to, before you've had that problem, trying to spot them before they occur and trying to do something about them. Slide 34, those typical questions that we're trying to answer in the proactive case is, what's my Java application doing and why is it doing it? If my application is running slowly, what's the reason for it? Is there anything I can do to improve it? How do I make it go faster and scale? Do I have fundamental problems? Is it actually the Java virtual machine itself which requires tuning rather than the application? But it's all about looking at what resources the application is using, how the code's executing, and to see if there's any problems that can be highlighted and recommendations that can be made on how to improve it. And on slide 35, there's actually some slightly more difficult questions that, whilst we don't have the full answers to yet in Health Center, we're working towards. So things like just looking at the configuration and seeing whether there's any basic problems there. Are there stability issues that can be spotted? Is there a memory leak that we can detect well ahead of time to warn you that, you know, you're leaking memory and in 4 hours we expect an out-of-memory error to occur? You know, how can we spot ahead of time that the application is about to crash and that, you know, you should kick off your analysis now so that when this shows up on your boss's dashboard that there's been a failure, you can already say, we've got all of the data, we knew this was going to happen, we've planned for it, we've got a backup system coming up already and we're doing the analysis already. So on slide 36, really, what we think this boils down to is my application healthy? Is it running well? And if it's not, what are its problems and how do I go about fixing it? Really, that's where the name Health Center came from. It's, you know, is there a health problem with my Java application? So on slide 37, IBM Monitoring Diagnostic Tool for Health Center, for Java Health Center, was released around about a month ago and is now in the IBM support system. So as we said briefly at the start, this is a low overhead profiler that plugs into your Java application. So it's a two-part deployment. One plugs into your application, the other one's a client side that does the visualization. And it provides you with a view into your running application, and it looks for problems where it sees the application isn't as healthy as it could be, and then starts to do recommendations on configuration and tries to let you know what the problems are and what we feel you should be doing about it. Slide 38, the target environment. So ideally, Health Center should be used as early as possible. So the earlier in a development cycle that you find problems, the cheaper they are to solve. So as early as possible is a good thing. So looking at it, potentially in development or certainly during function testing and performance testing is the right place for it to be. And indeed, because of its low overhead, there should be no problems running it in production because it has a 2% overhead and not a lot more than that, it means that you should be able to run it in production, but obviously any problems it sees there are going to be more costly to fix later on in the production cycle. So slide 39, how does it work? As I said, it's a two-part deployment. There's a small agent that gets plugged into the Java virtual machine. So you effectively drop the agent into your Java installation, and you add a short command line option, which can be done through the admin console on WAS, and then the JVM starts and the profile is in place. It then creates a JMX connection to a client which is based on either Windows or Linux inside ISA, and that takes the data that's coming out of the application and produces runtime monitoring and graphing and analysis of different subsystems. So it looks at your environment, it looks at garbage collection, it looks at locking, it looks at method profiling and so on. And those recommendations are dynamically updated as and when more data becomes available. If we move to slide 40, then the initial screen that you get is just the overview and recommendations. So the overview covers the subsystems we currently look at. So these are classes, what classes have been loaded and when they've been loaded, the environment, which tells you about the OS level settings, the Java level settings, the system level settings, and so on. Garbage collection, so how garbage collection is performing, what the memory usage is like. Locking, which tells you about the Java locks in the application and the JVM level locks in the application. And profiling, which tells you about the method execution. On slide 41, class loading. So it will show you every single class that's loaded in the system. It will tell you whether or not it's in the shared class cache. So it's possible to share classes between multiple JVM on the same machine. So it will tell you whether that class is being shared, and it will tell you at what point in time that class is being loaded and whether significant amounts of class loading and unloading is occurring. So you get a graph that shows when events occur. And in the example there, if you saw a performance problem around about 110 minutes into the running of your application, then it may well be that this is due to large amounts of classes being loaded at that point in time. On slide 42 is a screenshot of the environment analysis. So it gives you your class path. It tells you what your ulimits are at the operating system level to see whether it's set up to get core files. It gives you your Java command line. It gives you your full set of Java parameters and system properties. It tells you what level of JVM you're using, so what Java version, what your home directory is, what your process ID is. It'll tell you what user ID you're running under. And it gives you hardware numbers, so it tells you about the number of processes you've got, your architecture, the operating system, what version you're on, and all of this kind of information. And as you'll notice in the bottom left-hand corner of the diagram, the recommendations there says that there's a non-standard option being run. It's only a warning because it won't really cause you a major problem, but it does say, you know, you've got an option which we don't consider to be standard in place. Did you really mean to have that there? If you look at slide 43, what you can see there is you'll get two graphs which are updated live. These cover what your heat size and usage is. And you'll get another one that tells you how long GC is taking, how much time is being spent inside garbage collection. And it gives you a full summary as well, which is a statistical analysis of the amount of time being spent in GC and so on, as well as what some of your configuration options were. Again, in the bottom left-hand corner, it gives you some recommendations. So in this case, it says that the heat utilization is very, very low, and therefore you might want to change your heap sizes. Slide 44, it gives you lock analysis. So if you've got a synchronized block anywhere in your code, so you've got a Java lock that's being run, Health Center will actually tell you what those locks are, how often they're being taken, whether there's ever contention on that lock between multiple threads, and if there is contention, how quickly it's resolved, and gives you an idea of whether you've got contention points which are going to give you scalability problems. Now, not only does so for Java monitors, but it also gives you the same information for locks at the JVM level. So if you suspect that the JVM is causing you a problem, or that you're driving bits of the JVM too hard. So the Java heap, for example, is protected by a heap lock, a lock that serializes access to the Java heap for large objects. So it will actually tell you whether you've got contention there instead and that you're creating large amounts of large objects on multiple threads, and you've got, that's your contention point. So it tells you whether you've got scalability issues due to the use of locks in the system. And finally, for the screenshots, on slide 45, you've got method profiling output. This will show you how much time is being spent in methods. So whether all the CPU time is being spent in one particular method and you're spinning there, or you've got inefficient code. And it will also show you what the call path is. So if you've got a method that calls three other methods, it will tell you what percentage we call one method rather than another. So we can show that in this case, define class calls another implementation of define class. In one case, it calls it 86% of the time. For the other one, it calls it 12.9% of the time. So you can actually build this full call graph and see what the call flow is, which methods are being called most, and where all of your CPU time is going. And all of this is done by extracting data directly out of the Java runtime itself, so you don't have to pay the cost of doing bytecode instrumentation and using JVM tools interfaces and all of this stuff, which has performance overheads. So Health Center actually has the lowest cost of overhead performance monitoring that you can get, and therefore is very, very, very low overhead. Moving to slide 46, availability. Unfortunately, Health Center is only available for Java 5 and Java 6, so that's WebSphere 6.1 and WebSphere 7, and you do need later versions of the service refreshes of those levels in order to get all of the capabilities in Health Center. So some of the capabilities aren't available until you move to the later levels of Java 5 and Java 6. And as I said, the install's in two parts, an agent that sits in the Java process and a client GUI that does the visualization. And that agent started shipping in recent versions of Java 5 and Java 6, so it's already there, and you don't need to install anything into the Java runtime that's being monitored. On slide 47, there's a number of useful links which are there for your reference. So going to Java Developer Works, get the tools and access to the troubleshooting guides. We've got a troubleshooting blog on My Developer Works, and you can find all of this stuff by searching through a search engine and looking for IBM Java, and then that will take you to the home page where everything else is linked from. Slide 48, additional WebSphere product resources. This chart links to a number of sites that provide online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks gives you a lot of in-depth technical information. The events link goes to support pages to point you to webcast and conference information. You can also go to WebSphere.org for user group information, and there's more product information there as well. The IBM Education Assistant gives you a number of self-help videos and can get new users up to speed very, very quickly. And the SR tool is for Passport Advantage, so clients can open PMRs and problem reports online. And the My Notifications link on all the product support pages lets you sign up for email updates and products of interest to you, so you can get notifications when new things occur and write bug fixes and new versions and so on. And finally, I'll hand back to Joseph to wrap up.
Thank you, Chris, for a great presentation. At this point, Carrie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Currently at this time, there are no questions.
Thank you, Carrie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.